all of us. Everyone at the State's Academic Medical Center. All working together to deliver complete care now and for generations to come. All over the state, including hospital and clinic locations from the Delta to the Gulf Coast. All for one reason. You, the University of Mississippi Medical Center. All for your health.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
I'm Dr. Jimmy Stewart, host of the original Southern Remedy, the show where I answer your medical questions. Subscribe to the podcast by searching for Southern Remedy on any podcasting app.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Josie Bidwell, Associate Professor of Preventive Medicine at UMMC. And joining me in the studio today, I have a longtime colleague and friend, Lisa Haney, who is also a professor in the School of Nursing at UMMC, and she is a nurse practitioner as well. And we're going to be talking about kind of cervical cancer screenings and why those are so important, as well as highlighting a really cool event that UMC does a couple times a year, and it's called See, Test, and Treat. And so it's a really neat program that is going to be focused on trying to detect issues soon and get people connected with the appropriate treatment for that. And I'll be there, and Dr. Haney will be there, and it's a really good... How many years have we been doing that? Gosh.
Oh, gosh, Josie. By the way, it's so good to be back today. Absolutely. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. I've been hiding.
Back on the show, and I'm glad to be here today to talk to you about this wonderful event. Gosh, I would say this may be year six. Y'all don't hold me to that.
Well, because COVID years
kind of messed.
Right.
Up
we had some pauses and some different things around in there, but it's been going on for quite a while.
It has. And it's definitely a wonderful program. Thanks to CAP, which is the College of American Pathologists. And they help us fund this. And we work collaboratively with them, UMC. Mm-hmm. Department of Health. There's a lot of people.
A lot of people that are doing that, right? And while we wait for some callers to hop on the line with us, Lisa, remind us what you do at UMC.
Okay. Well, I teach. I have the best job ever. I get to do two things that I love. I get to teach students and take care of patients. So I'm a nurse practitioner, and then also a nursing instructor, and I teach primarily in the nurse practitioner track at the medical center in Jackson. And also manage school-based clinics in the Mississippi Delta.
Yep. And, you know, you also have a love and passion for women's health.
Absolutely.
You actually were one of my instructors many years ago in women's health and teaching all about maternal-based nursing. Learned a ton from you there and have continued to learn from you since then. But why is cervical health and cervical cancer, why are we still talking about that?
Well, it's a very important part of women's health care. You should start having these screenings at 21.
Mm-hmm.
I know back in the day, I can remember my mother telling me, you've got to go have that appointment with the OBGYN before you go off to college.
Right.
Well, that's still the truth and a good rule of thumb, but not to have that pap smear necessarily. It is good to go ahead and go and talk and get a good woman's health visit taken care of. You should start having the pap smear at 21, regardless of when you had your first had sex. How often should you have cervical cancer screening? Which it depends on your age and health history. So you should have it between 21 and 29. You should have a pap test alone for those 3 years. And then we add the HPV, human papillomavirus, testing alone. And it can be considered for women between the ages of 25 and 29. But the pap smear is really the gold standard and is preferred. But they can do that test as well. Moving on, women who are 30 to 65 have three different options for testing. So
it gets a little confusing.
It does. Things have changed so much over here. I've been practicing for 30 years, so it's been crazy, especially in reproductive health, how these change over the years. But a woman between 30 and 65 have three options of testing. They can have a Pap test, an HPV test, they call it co-testing, every 5 years. They can have a Pap test alone every 3 years. Or they can have HPV testing alone every 5 years as well. So that's kind of the gold standard, and that's the current guidelines that we recommend.
So let's kind of break those down a little bit. First of all, like, what is a cervix?
Cervix is the opening to your uterus.
Right.
And getting back to women that have had children, that's what you, when you're in
that's
labor.
That's where baby comes out.
That's right. When you're in labor and delivery, it's the end of our uterus. And it's what you, when they talk about dilation, that's what dilates in order for the baby to be able to come through the birth canal or the uterus to deliver.
Right. And so when you go to a healthcare provider to have an exam, there are different things that can be done, right? So we mentioned a Pap smear.
Correct.
And that is going to be really getting some cells off of that cervix look at them, right?
Yes, we look at the external, we call it the external and internal ice of the in the cervix. So we're scraping, that's kind of a harsh word.
Yeah, it's a terrible word. We are gently removing some cells from that area.
The external
ice. And every woman that's listening is like,
you got it. And then
the first word was better.
Yes. And then the internal ice, where we can get more internal cells.
Yeah.
And so that's, and then our really good friends, the pathologists, read those slides or the thin prep, and they create the slides from that. And things have just changed over the years. We can get, the great thing about this event, which we'll get a little more into detail, is you can have your results same day.
Yeah.
So, but that's, you know, like I said, it's a wonderful partnership. We rely on our pathology friends.
Absolutely. So if we get back to that, you know, cervix, it's the end part of the uterus. And it almost looks like, if you were just to look at the cervix, kind of like a donut, and the kind of inside of that dimple is where the inside lining of the uterus starts. Outside of that, it's a slightly different kind of cell. And so really, when we're doing a Pap smear, when your healthcare provider is doing that, we're trying to get those cells at, we call it the transformation zone, which is really where that those inside cells meet those outside cells. Because that area is kind of rapidly dividing. And anytime you have cells that are dividing quickly, that can be where cancerous things start to creep up. So that's really what we're doing when we're down there. I know you're probably not thinking about what exactly it is we're doing down there. There's a reason that we're down there and what we're doing. And then our pathology friends, we send that sample to them, and they put it out on a slide and take a look and see if the cells are looking like what they're supposed to be looking like, or if anything looks a little hinky there.
And they also can find other infections that may be, when we do the testing, that's another wonderful thing. There's several things that they can also see. They can find yeast infections that women may have, bacterial vaginosis, trichomonas sometimes, some of the other infections that can be found that the female may not be having symptoms of at the time that they're there. But that's the great thing. They can all be treated.
Yeah, those we can get you a prescription for some antibiotics or some antifungal to get that taken care of. But there's also other things that we're looking at when we're down there doing a pelvic exam. And so even if you don't need a Pap smear, so you mentioned those kind of guidelines of when we start getting them and how often we get them. And so you may go, all right, well, I'm 21. I went and had my first Pap smear. It was fine. They told me I don't need another one for 3 years. So I'm just not going to go to the healthcare provider for 3 years.
Is that
the correct choice?
No. Okay. You should still see your healthcare provider every year for a wellness exam. And, you know, checks, female checks are still part of that wellness exam, and things can change in a year. So they'll do a lot of times, can do some STD testing. If you're having any problems, they're also checking, you know, talk to you about your menstrual cycle, for example. Are you having any signs of problems? There's all kinds of things that you can talk to your provider about. And also they'll do a lot of times a bimanual exam, which checks your uterine and also your ovaries to make sure everything's okay, nothing's enlarged, and that you're not having any problems with that. So it's not just the Pap smear.
Right.
There's so many other things that encompass that. And I always teach, you know, teach nursing students and medical students sometimes that you know, a female comes in, if they're complaining of lower abdominal pain, you have a lot more to check out than when a male comes in.
Yeah. Well, there's just more spots more organs on the inside for us to check out. Because really, you know, we tend to think about the word pap smear as all-encompassing, and it's not. The pelvic exam is more all-encompassing because that is, what does everything look like on the outside, right? Because you can have issues there. You can be little cysts there in the labia and some of the glands down there. You can have just rashes and irritation down there that are uncomfortable and need to be addressed. And then you can have issues on the walls of the vagina. So we need to look at that. If you still have a cervix, it can get other things beside cancer, just like you mentioned, some of those infections that may or may not have symptoms associated Correct. With them that we absolutely want to get a sample, you know, see if you've got any discharge, anything like that, because some of them can be bad for if you're trying to conceive and all those different kinds of things. So we want to look at all that. And then you mentioned that bimanual exam, which really just means two hands, one on the outside of your body kind of pressing down, and the other is usually a couple of gloved fingers that are inserted so we can feel if we feel any lumps or bumps or masses or anything that's just not supposed to be in there that we need to check out. So when you have something like lower abdominal pain or pelvic pain, there really are a multitude of things that your healthcare provider needs to look at and feel to see what's going on down there. Thanks for joining me this morning here on Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit. I'm your host, Josie Bidwell, nurse practitioner at UMMC. Joined today by my great friend, Lisa Haney, who is also a nurse practitioner at UMMC. And we're talking about cervical cancer screening as our kind of main focus because we've got a really cool event coming up called See, Test, and Treat that we'll talk a little more about in just a minute. Before the break, we were talking about who needs a pap smear and also the difference between a pap smear and just a regular pelvic exam and why those are important. If you guys have a women's health question, you can always hop on with us. Send me an email, fit@mpbonline.org. All right, Lisa, what if you've had a hysterectomy? Do you still need a pap smear?
Good question. I get that a lot. Not necessarily, mm-hmm. but sometimes there are some cases that you do. We still sometimes do a scrape of the cuff. Sampling of the vaginal cuff that remains, that is present after they've taken the uterus and mm-hmm. the cervix out.
Yeah.
So, and it really depends. Your provider will make that decision and lead you in the right mm-hmm. direction as far as what they recommend. It depends on the cases.
Yeah.
If your hysterectomy was a result of, cancer
right.
of some sort, then you likely may have it mm-hmm. again. Otherwise, it's just kind of what it's up to, decision of the provider.
And so, you know, if you're listening and you're like, I am still confused, like when I'm supposed to start having these, how often, all this kind of stuff, that is what your healthcare provider is there
right.
for, right? Our goal here is to make you aware of the need for screening for things like cervical cancer. And then if you're going, you know, I don't know if I qualify, I don't know if I'm supposed to have one, any of these different kinds of things, that's when you can have kind of an individualized risk assessment with your healthcare provider, depending on, you know, do you still have a uterus? Do you still have a cervix? What about your ovaries? You know, are you currently sexually active? Are you having any pain or anything down there? All of those things that we can look into to decide what testing you may need at that particular point in time. So that leads me to our See, Test, and Treat program. So tell me what that actually means, because it's not specific to UMC, right?
Right.
It is a national program.
Exactly.
UMC just happens to be the partner site for Mississippi's programs, right?
Right.
So what is it?
It is an event that's put on, or as I guess the it's with
sponsored,
UMC, sponsored by the College of American Pathologists. And we work with the UMC Cancer Institute at the Jackson Medical Mall. Mm-hmm. The event is April 6th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if anyone is interested, it's for the underinsured, uninsured participants. So if you have not had a mammogram or a pap smear in a long time and you're underinsured or uninsured, this is your opportunity. And so what the process is you call, I'm going to give you the number right now. The phone number is 601-815-3572. That's 601-815-3572. And you call that number to determine your eligibility.
Right.
They'll ask you a few questions and talk to you for a little bit and then go ahead and set you up an appointment if you're eligible for the event. It is a wonderful event. Mm-hmm. I always say it's kind of a highlight of my career every year. It's a great experience. The patients are wonderful, and it's a great day for everyone.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been a participant for many years as well. And, you know, I often go, how did I get hooked up with this? And it's because I was at Disney World when you texted me and you said, hey, I need some help. And I was in the happiest place on earth. So I was like, absolutely, whatever you need, sign me up, I'll do it. And I'm very glad that I did that because it is a wonderful opportunity to work with individuals on what testing they may need, but then also the health education piece that goes along behind that. Like, how do we keep everything nice and healthy so that we can prevent things like infections and cancers from coming on? So I think the word uninsured is fairly self-explanatory, right? Like, that's without insurance.
Right.
But what is an underinsured person?
Great question. A lot of companies may not provide, a pap smear may not be included in their insurance, as well as a mammogram. Mm-hmm. And so this, and dental,
right,
as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So that's the wonderful part about this program, is that day we offer mammograms, and we'll get a little more into that.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cervical cancer screening or pap smears, and HPV testing is another part of it, and then also oral cancer screenings that day. So, so the underinsured, in other words, is if your plan does not include those
kind of wellness preventive services there, which can often be the case, or they can be really, really high deductibles or things that are going to just absolutely prevent you from being able to access those preventive care services. And so if you're unsure whether you fall in that underinsured category, that's what that screening number is for. So we encourage anybody to call that number and go through that kind of screening intake process and see if you qualify for that. Now, let's say you do, and you get set up to come out on April 6th. What should people expect? What does that process look like?
First, I better give you the address
and
tell you where the event is. It just hit me. I didn't go over that. It is at the UMC Cancer Center and Research Institute at the Jackson Medical Mall, and the address is 350 West Woodrow Wilson Drive in Jackson. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't miss it. When you pull up off Woodrow Wilson in that area, there are signs everywhere leading you to the right spot.
Exactly.
Once you make an appointment through the eligibility and determine your eligibility, you'll make an appointment. You'll show up that morning. They'll usually tell you, try to get there around 30 minutes early. And then you're guided through. It's awesome. It's a check-in. And you have somebody kind of assigned to you to take you through the system. Mm-hmm. And we have so many partners that day. Mm-hmm. That's what's wonderful. The health education, the health department's a big part of this. So you're not left. If something is determined at the end of the day that's, you know, positive, that they find something, we've got you in a system. That's where the health department really comes in, the breast and cervical cancer program. Mm-hmm. We partner with them, and, that'll help with future costs. There's also some financial counselors and stuff there that'll help with insurance needs and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's a great day. The coolest thing is that day you're going to get your results
that's,
all same day.
That's the secret sauce to this whole program, right? That's why it's called See, Test, Treat, right? So we see you, and you'll be seen by one of the nurse practitioners is who will be doing pap smear testing. So either Dr. Haney or myself or one of the other UMC nurse practitioners. We'll have some nurse practitioner students with us as well out there. We will do that testing and then kind of hand that sample off over to our pathology friends. And if you're not familiar with what a pathologist is, those are medical physicians who, that's their specialty, is the pathology piece of it. of it. So looking at biopsies and of various different types of tissues, but in this particular case, they're going to be looking at that those cervical cells that I talked about initially. And the really cool thing about that is if for some reason we didn't get a good sample, right? Which can happen sometimes, right?
You know, definitely.
The cervix is supposed to be easy to find, but in, and I say supposed to be because nobody is textbook normal.
Exactly.
Sometimes it can be pointed a little upwards, sometimes it can be pointed a little downwards, and sometimes it can just be listing off to the side. And so, you know, we try our absolute best to get a really good sample, but occasionally we may not get enough cells for the pathologist to feel comfortable making a determination, or just for any reason there. Like, you don't have to come back. Like, you're there. And so the pathologist just pops up and says, hey, was this a difficult sample to get? You know, something like that. We really need to try and get another one, right? Yep. And so that cuts down on, you know, you having to take off work again and come back to the doctor to get those things done. And then that's also, you know, they test it and look at it right there. So if you have one of those infections we talked about, one of the nurse practitioners is going to get you treated on site, get you some antibiotics or antifungals to get that taken care of. And then if your pap smear is abnormal, if the cells don't look correct, we get plugged in with the breast and cervical,
correct,
so that we get that treated and you can catch those things early, because it's of course much easier to handle things when we catch them very early on and get that taken care of. And you're also not left just wandering around. It sounds like a lot of moving parts, but you have like a little navigator with you.
Yeah, you do. And there's activities going on throughout the time. There's all kinds of educational opportunities that are going to be going on. There'll be light refreshments there.
Snacks. If you
bring
food, people will come. So, you know, that's snacks are always a good idea.
Exactly. So that's the thing. And you'll have a lot of access to community resources. Mm-hmm. Like I said, our partners.
Mm-hmm. Some different tables set up with different information about community programs that are happening or different clinical services that are available for you. And I think there's also going to be some exercise, maybe demonstrations.
They're hoping
we're going to have some exercise demonstrations. So lots of different things for you to be doing while you're waiting on those results there. And, you know, I love to teach patients. I love to talk with patients.
And you're so great at it, too.
I love to provide that education. So people always have to knock on my door and tell me to wrap it up, because I'm in there talking with people about all kinds of different things. Because, you know, I believe that when people are hungry for that information about their health, there's no better time than right when they're sitting there waiting on me.
And you and I have witnessed during this a lot. Sometimes we might be in that room for a little bit, really doing a lot of teaching, lot of questions asked, which we are glad to answer, and it's your opportunity. This isn't just in the see, test, and treat realm. You should always do that when you go see your healthcare provider.
Right, and kind of keep a list of questions that you have and that you want to ask folks. You know, part of, when I think about people who are at increased risk for things like cervical cancer, smoking is one of those things, and we ask those questions, you know, if you're a current smoker. And so every year there's at least one or two folks who, you know, I kind of ask about that question. How long you been smoking? Have you tried to quit before? You know, what do you think's kind of standing in your way? And we usually can get people connected with, again, different kind of free resources that we have available.
And they'll be there that day.
To help you, the ACT Center, which we've had on the show before, and the 1-800-QUIT-NOW, all of those kind of publicly available resources to help you quit smoking. So don't think that we're not going to try and take care of the whole picture. We're going to ask you all kinds of things and try and get you connected with all the resources that you would have available. Now that we've talked about the cervical cancer portion and the kind of the pelvic exam, that kind of stuff, the oral cancer folks are also going to be there as well, right?
The School of Dentistry will be there doing oral cancer exams, and that's part of the program. Everyone will get screened that participates in the program that day, so we're real excited about that. The pap smear, as I said, starts at 21 and goes to 65, so we'll see those patients. And then another part of the program is the mammogram.
Exactly.
And, you know, the guidelines for that are a little different, quite different. And so you'll be 40 and older for that and haven't had one in a while. Mm-hmm. So that's when we get in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get into that in kind of the next segment. But so if you're thinking, well, I've had a hysterectomy and I don't need a pap smear, right? there may be some other services that you would qualify for. So again, that number to call is 601-815-3572 to kind of talk to one of the intake specialists, see if there's anything that you would qualify for in the program. And I'm really excited about the oral cancer screening. And if you're like one of those folks that are afraid of the dentist, like it's not like that. Like don't let that keep you. What they're going to be looking at, they're just going to use like the little wooden stick, little tongue blade to just kind of move your cheeks around and look in there, because we're looking for any discolorations, like red spots or white spots, or any lumps or bumps or anything that's kind of not healing or maybe bleeding, that kind of thing that we need to get you set up with for kind of some further examination there. Because again, catching those things on the front end is really, really important. You're listening to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Josie Bidwell, nurse practitioner at UMMC. And joining me in the studio, I have Lisa Haney, who is also a nurse practitioner at UMMC. And we've been talking about the upcoming event, See, Test, and Treat, which is a program for women's health that it looks at cervical cancer and breast cancer screening, as well as oral cancer screening. It is coming up April the 6th at the Jackson Medical Mall from 8 until 2. And it is for folks who are uninsured or underinsured as it comes to kind of this preventive care like mammograms and pap smears. And we've spent a portion of time talking about the cervical cancer piece and the pap smear. And we talked a little bit about the oral cancer screening. And we're going to spend a little bit more time on that and the breast cancer screening as well, the mammogram portion. So that oral cancer screening will be handled by our partners in School of Dentistry, correct. I would imagine, is doing that. And, we had Dr. Livingston on the show a couple weeks ago where we do Dental Missions Week. And so I've gotten to see the oral cancer screenings hands-on. It is not anything to be fearful of if you're scared of going to the dentist. It's a pretty quick look in there to see if there's anything that needs a more in-depth evaluation by one of the dentists there. We tend not to think about oral cancer going with women's health, but they can all kind of be linked through HPV, right?
Correct.
So HPV is the main driver of cervical cancer, but HPV, human papillomavirus, can also contribute to head and neck cancers as well. And so while the cervical cancer piece we've talked about is very women's health heavy, mm-hmm. HPV does not necessarily discriminate between genders. And so that is something that if you are male, also need to be talking to your healthcare provider about whether you qualify for HPV vaccination and still getting your oral cancer screenings done with. And your regular healthcare provider can take a peep in there. But I hope that you're also going to the dentist every 6 months as well for them to be able to do that.
And I'm not sure if I did say, mm-hmm. I think I did, but HPV screening mm-hmm. will be included with the PAP.
With the PAP, right. So that's screen. That co-testing piece that we talked about. So pap smear and then HPV as well. And so there are a gabillion different strains of HPV. Not really. There's like over 100 different strains of HPV. And some of them don't do much of anything.
Right.
Some of them are more on the genital wart kind of spectrum, and then there are the ones that are much more likely to cause a cancer, right? Mm-hmm. And so we call that high-risk HPV. Right. So when that test is done, it kind of tells us what strain of HPV it is, and then we do know that there are certain ones that are more closely invasive. Associated with cervical cancer. And so then that's just going to help us decide when we might need another pap smear done, that kind of thing. It's just more information. And so combining those two tests is really good to help your clinician make the most accurate decision about next treatment steps there. All right, let's talk about mammograms.
Yes.
So you mentioned kind of guidelines, again, have shifted. And they may still even be, like if you are insured, it may vary.
A lot of some insurances pay for mammograms, mm-hmm. a screening mammogram, mm-hmm. and some do not. Mm-hmm. So this is where the underinsured come in.
Right.
Women should be routinely screened for breast cancer, even if they have no signs or symptoms.
Right.
And this is at 40. So I'm going to kind of go over some
guidelines
for you.
Let us know
because
what those
are. Stages.
Yeah.
And women, I like to always tell my female patients, you need to become familiar with your body and your breast. So monthly self-exams, you should begin in your 20s. Mm-hmm. And you should know how healthy your breasts look and feel and tell your doctor if you have any changes. Mm-hmm. And in our 20s, there are some changes. It's hormonal, and that goes throughout. So sometimes they may be tender. They may feel lumps and bumps mm-hmm. that go away. They correlate with our cycles a lot of times.
Different hormonal, depending on what phase of the menstrual cycle we're in, there may be more lumps and bumps, and some of them may be painful or tender to the touch, that kind of thing.
And we still recommend the self-breast exams mm-hmm. the week after your cycle.
Yes.
When those things, your hormone levels kind of calm down mm-hmm. at that point.
Yeah.
Clinical exams by a doctor or healthcare provider every 3 years beginning your 20s and 30s, and then every year once you hit the 40s. Mm-hmm. And so annual mammograms should begin at age 40. And if you have a familial mm-hmm.
You had a strong family history.
Mm-hmm. of breast cancer, talk to your healthcare provider, and because you may need it. They sometimes will do screening MRIs. Yeah. And you should start beginning your mammograms earlier.
Yeah.
You'll find that a lot. I can remember my healthcare provider recommended at 35.
Uh-huh. I started at 35 as well.
And then everything was fine, thank mm-hmm. goodness. And so then didn't have to do it every mm-hmm. year, but then at 40, mm-hmm. the yearly.
Yep, I agree. I've got a strong family history of breast cancer. And it's usually if it's kind of in a first degree relative, so like your mom or dad, or kind of aunts and on that side of the family. I have several, so I have been getting my mammograms since age 35. I was not expecting it the first time. It kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I was like, oh, so we're going to do that today.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm ready. And then the clinical breast exam as well is an important piece there. And one thing that I find for women that have had a hysterectomy and are not menstruating, maybe they're on some type of oral contraceptive or an implantable, IUD or
progestin only.
Yeah, something. And so they're not having a period. They may be like, well, when do I do my breast exam?
Great question. Right?
So when do you do that?
I usually say, when is your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Mine's coming up.
April
2nd. So I'm menopausal. Uh-huh. I no longer have cycles. So I check mine the second of every month.
Yes.
And so that's that's what I encourage mm-hmm. my patients that are on those hormones that they don't have, mm-hmm. their amenorrheic mm-hmm. or don't have cycles mm-hmm. every month.
And that's a good tip for our male folks as well. You know, you can absolutely have breast cancer in males. And so doing that exam on yourself again is fine. Thinking about your birth date and kind of doing it on that, not waiting for once a year on your birthday, but like for Dr. Haney here, the second of every month, right? For me, it'd be the 29th of every month. But then also in our younger males, testicular self-exams are equally as important to be doing. And so let's kind of walk through how we do these different things. So how do we do a self-breast exam?
Well, first of all, I'll talk to the best time of the month.
Yeah.
And so, of course, if our patient is having cycles mm-hmm. every month, the best is the week after the cycle mm-hmm. because that's your hormone levels kind of even off and everything. For your menopausal women or like I said, women that have the birth control, they don't have...
Or the surgical menopause or whatever it is.
Whatever it could be, pick your birth date, do it at the same time every month. There are three different methods of checking your breast. You can do small circles on the outside. You use the pads of your fingers, mm-hmm. not the palms of your hands.
Right.
The pads of our fingers feel things.
You got more nerve endings right there.
Feel
so
those
you're more likely to feel things.
And I still take small circles on the outside and work our way inward to the nipple mm-hmm. like a spiral. You also need to check your armpit because we have axillary nodes. And then a lot of times, did you know that the breast is not just the breast you see? Our breast tissue goes all the way up to that bone that's just in our neck, mm-hmm. or just below our neck, called the clavicle. So that region just below and above is needs to be checked as well. Mm-hmm. We have lymph nodes there that, if they're enlarged, they need to be checked out.
Right.
So that we call that the telospence, and that's the upper portion. So when you're looking at the breast tissue, it's kind of like a teardrop.
Yeah.
It kind of points up. And when you're checking, say, your left breast, your left arm goes above your head, your right hand
does
the check-in.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other methods, you can go up and down, just as long as you cover the breast and the breast tissue and mm-hmm. get those axillary nodes mm-hmm. as well. When you get to your nipple, you need to squeeze it gently mm-hmm. and see if you have any discharge. Right. If you have any discharge and you're not, say, breastfeeding or right. something, that's something that probably should be checked out. Right. It's could be something simply hormonal, but there also could be right. some other things going on that you need to let your healthcare provider know.
Yeah, always let us know about that. Because, you know, and even up to like a year after you finish breastfeeding, yes. you can still have some, if you actually express, you can still have some discharge that way. But I would still want, as your healthcare provider, I would want to know.
I'd want to know.
And I can go, oh, that's completely fine. Right. You know, everything looks okay. But again, we'd rather catch something sooner rather than later. And drainage should never usually be bloody
exactly.
Or have a foul odor to it, or, you know, be green or any of those different kinds of things, because that could point to an infection that we could absolutely treat there. And so I like to tell people to do it in the shower. That just seems to be a time when you're more relaxed, and you've also got some soap and things that kind of help your fingers kind of glide over that area. But it does not have to be done in the shower. It can be done absolutely anywhere that you will do it. So really, when we say when's the best time to do it, whenever you remember to do it. But I would love to see you add it to your calendar and kind of put a little alert on your phone and remember to do those different kinds of things there. And if you feel anything at all that you're not sure about, I want you to talk to your healthcare provider. Let us then feel it and decide, oh, you know, because I'm going to keep detailed notes in your chart, right? If I've felt something year after year
exactly.
after year, right?
Exactly.
Or if that's a new feeling, a new spot, things like that we need to get looked at either by a diagnostic mammogram at that point or an ultrasound, whatever needs to happen so that we can take a look at those particular that particular area of concern. I know a lot of times our brain tells us not to overreact and don't be, I don't want to go bother them. You are not bothering your healthcare provider. That is legitimately our job and what we are there for. And it makes my day when somebody comes in and
Absolutely.
It's nothing. Like when I
Absolutely.
Go, oh, that's fine, or let's get it looked at, and we do look at it and it's fine. All of those things are the good outcomes that we want to see. So don't ever be afraid to come see us.
And another thing, when you're getting these yearly mammograms, for example, mm-hmm. you know, the radiologist or whoever's reading them is comparing your previous ones. Mm-hmm. So again, that's why it's so important, because if something looks a little different than the year prior, they're probably going to investigate mm-hmm. a little further. So yeah. that's important, why the screenings
mm-hmm.
are so important.
Absolutely. You're listening to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit on MPB Think Radio. I'm your host, Josie Bidwell, joined today by Lisa Haney. And we've been talking about the See, Test, and Treat program, which is a free event for women who may be uninsured or underinsured that do pap smears, mammograms, and oral cancer screenings. And we talked about mammograms and who should get a mammogram before the break. And I did use a word, I used the word diagnostic mammogram during that, and I do want to kind of tease that out a little bit. This program right here is a screening mammogram program. So screening mammograms are done to pick up on anything early on when you don't have symptoms usually. And then a diagnostic is maybe if you went to your healthcare provider and we did a clinical breast exam and felt something, or you came in and said, hey, I've got this nipple discharge, or I have this lump right here, that kind of thing. Typically what we order then is a diagnostic mammogram and we write on there, like, this is the area of concern. So when the radiologist, when the tech is performing your mammogram, they get extra pictures of that area. And the radiologist is also, you know, extra focused in on the areas to see if they see anything that might correlate with what we see on the clinical side of things. Now, there are, if you've never had a mammogram before, there are some pointers to that, right? What are some of those pointers, Dr. Haney?
Definitely. When you come in that day, you know, if you've already put deodorant on, we're going to have you take
it off.
We're
going to wipe it
off. We have a little wet wipes in the bathroom, your changing area. So you may just want to bring your deodorant in a bag.
I would absolutely recommend that.
So,
and luckily, it's spring, yes. So we're not fully into summer yet. But exactly. If you've got something to do that afternoon, you're going to want to bring you some deodorant.
That's right, because it can skew some results. Mm-hmm. If it's clumpy, you know, it's just...
It just shows up weird on the imaging sometimes, and we don't want to be chasing a deodorant clump thinking that it's something clinically significant. Lotions can do
of those things just that day until you get done.
Yeah.
That's just best to not put anything on.
Yeah.
Because you just don't want anything to skew any mm-hmm. results or anything. Mm-hmm. And they're going to ask you all that. And when you go into the little changing room, it's going to have they usually have baby wipes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they're there for.
And they're there to wipe all of that off. Mm-hmm. And then some places will have the deodorant stuff.
Some people do. They'll have little spray things and that kind of stuff.
And you're good to go. Yeah. But yes. And then usually you'll go in the room, put you in a hospital gown. Mm-hmm. And then somebody will come get you out of that room and walk you to the next mm-hmm. phase, to the room where the mammogram is done. Mm-hmm.
And mammograms are usually done standing up.
Yes.
So, I'm trying to break it down for you. If you've never been, the thought of things often make them scarier than they are. So I'm trying to paint you a picture, right? So you're going to be in one of the beautiful hospital grounds. They come gowns. They come in a lovely pea green. They're beautiful. free ventilation.
Yes.
You know, they open on one side,
and you'll put it on.
You'll put it on like a robe so that it opens in the front.
Yes, because we're in the back.
We got to get to your front parts.
That's right.
And then the machine, really, the breast tissue goes. Almost on like a little shelf, and there's another piece that kind of comes down and it compresses your breast tissue. It is not the most comfortable process, but it is also not painful. It's just you're a little bit irritated that you're squished in this machine a little bit.
It's not awkward. You'll hear people mm-hmm. they tell you horror stories, but it's not that bad at all.
And it's relatively quick.
Yeah,
like they're going to take a couple of different sets of pictures, but just a couple of minutes is really all that you're in there. I often have people who ask, what if I have breast implants, that kind of thing. You need to let your tech know that you have breast implants, because mammograms can still be done on individuals that have breast implants. So we just may need to position things a little bit differently, mm-hmm. make sure we get good pictures. And usually if the tech says, I didn't get a good picture, I need to get another one, it's usually not because they saw something weird. It's because it just wasn't a good film.
And shadows.
Yeah, like you might have taken a good old deep breath or something while that particular image was being captured. Or just like Dr. Haney mentioned, you do have breast tissue up into almost that armpit area. And so sometimes they'll have to reposition you to try and make sure they capture as much of that kind of teardrop piece of breast tissue as we can, because we want to see all the things that we can. And there's radiologists that are there that are going to take a look at that mammogram as well, right?
Right. And they're going to see the different views.
Yeah.
And like I said, we think of the breast as just the breast that we see. We forget that we have so much breast. The breast tissue comes up to that clavicle bone and under our armpit. And
mm-hmm.
so when you're getting the mammogram, they've got to make sure they get those areas too, mm-hmm. because that the radiologist is going to be mm-hmm. looking.
And the radiologist will give results that day as well?
Yes, they will. And if anything is found, they will be set up in the system and made an appointment for follow-up
with our community partners to be able to get that taken
care
of. Right.
Correct.
Wonderful. So at this event, you're going to leave with results of your pap smear, results of your oral cancer screening, and results of your mammogram, if you're getting all three of those services. Some folks may only need the pap smear and the oral cancer. Some people may only need oral cancer and mammogram, those types of things, just depending on, which organs you still have and your age and your risk and all of those different kinds of things there.
Correct.
So, that's a pretty remarkable feat when you think about one day's time, not just getting the procedures done, but being handed your results right then is really, it's a powerful piece of information for people to have.
It is. And it's, the purpose is to have people to get their results that day so we can get them in a system, mm-hmm. in a healthcare provider, mm-hmm. and get them the help they need.
And not get kind of lost,
right?
I know when I get my pap smears, I have like a card that I'm supposed to call a number and get my results on, right? And
Or email.
Or like then those cards sometimes don't make it to wherever they're supposed to be making it. So give me those details on this event one more time.
Sure. It is Saturday, April 6th, which is not this weekend.
But the next.
But the next weekend from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the UMMC Cancer Center and Research Institute at the Jackson Medical Mall. The address is 350 West Woodrow Wilson in Jackson. And to determine your eligibility or to set up an appointment, they'll talk to you. You'll have the counselors are on board and answer this call. 601-815-3572. And again, this will be 601-815-3572.
Wonderful. I'm Josie Bidwell, nurse practitioner and associate professor of preventive medicine. Been joined by Lisa Haney, professor and nurse practitioner at UMMC. Southern Remedy is produced by the wonderful Kevin Farrell. And you've been listening to Southern Remedy Healthy and Fit. If you didn't catch our show and want to go back and listen again, please download our podcast by searching for Southern Remedy on your favorite podcasting app. And make sure to tune in every weekday at 11 for the full Southern Remedy lineup.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.